It's time for another episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur.
Yeah. It's like a whole nother occupation just to keep up with the analytics and what's going on with the changes in all those algorithms. It makes me crazy.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, a lot of small businesses still think that, you know, Facebook, and if you just post on Facebook, you'll be fine. Right. Well, the reality is that you won't. You will actually not even appear, because it's essentially the battle of the algorithms, whether it's a Google search algorithm or whether it's a Facebook feed algorithm, and the list goes on.
Yeah.
And you've even got algorithms now for email, because Google, you know, Gmail brought out algorithms and puts you into different tabs now. So whether it's social, whether it's, you know, the normal feed, and you quite often find that legitimate emails turns up in a spam or So, you know, the algorithms certainly aren't perfect. They're sort of positioned as being, you know, the be all and end all, and but the reality is they're not. And you can get either penalized or not be visible because of imperfect algorithms. But love it or leave it, you're really, it's the way the game's played today. Yeah, it's the battle of the algorithms.
You got to live with it. I think I was told, you can tell me if this is true or not.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Jeff Bullis joins me on the podcast today to talk about entrepreneurship and the influencing that he does online. Jeff's a digital entrepreneur, marketing blogger, keynote speaker, digital strategist, and best-selling author. He joins me from Australia on the other side of the world, and I hope you enjoy our talk. Okay. So, Jeff, so thanks for coming on the show from Australia. I guess so it's 5:20 my time in New Jersey. What time is it by you?
Time here is just gone past 8, so it's 8:20.
In the morning?
Yep, 8:20 okay. a.m., yeah.
On the other side of the world for each other. But that's technology. It sounds like we're right next to each other, so that's nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's fantastic,
right,
Scott.
So if we could, we started talking as I was getting the mic ready about your background. So maybe you can start with, you know, what you, how you started and, you know, your background. You're originally a teacher, and then we'll get into all the stuff you're doing now.
Okay. Yeah, so I started my career, initially as a teacher. So I was a high school teacher and taught at private schools. And I realized within a few years that it wasn't going to be something I want to do for the rest of my life. So I went and did a career sampling. So I went into, because I discovered I quite enjoyed selling, because I was doing that part time as a teacher in the evenings. And so I tried some real estate selling, insurance selling, and also some technology industries sales. Went and worked in an office of a friend, a colleague of mine that I used to do with my teaching degree. So I went, okay, I'll like the idea of doing technology. So that's
Jeff,
what we
did. How long ago was this?
This was in 1984, so quite a long time ago. Okay. So we're talking 36 years ago. Right. So it's when it was during the rise of the, you know, the IBM PC and Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. And so it was pretty exciting times, you know, the rise of software and spreadsheets and word processing software, the Apple Mac. Yeah, so it was really pretty exciting times. And
AOL was starting, right? I think I didn't hear about the internet until like 1992, 93, something like that.
Yeah, so I discovered, started a business in comms, which did quite well with that. And then mid-1990s, I sort of discovered the internet and the web and the old Netscape browser. And So that's what started to happen. And, yeah, so I sort of kept working in the industry, started a couple of businesses, and in 2008 I was going up with a lady at the time. I noticed she said to me, get onto Facebook. And I got on Facebook and noticed people's real obsession with Facebook, and said, gee, that's interesting how obsessed people are with it. And then I noticed the same behavior on, you know, Twitter.
Right.
And I'd also noticed my children's behavior when MySpace was big before Facebook ran them over.
Yeah, they're gone now, right?
Yeah. So I said, there's something going on here. So that was an observation, and there was a couple of bits of inspiration that sort of got me to start. Number one was Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week, which talked about, you know, starting a digital business.
Right.
Then there was David Meerman Scott, The New Rules of Marketing and PR.
Okay.
And that was about the power of creating content online to attract an audience to you.
Okay.
So I went, wow, that's cool, because I'd been used to chasing customers by cold calling, whereas if you create content, yeah. So
yeah.
Wow, that sounds, right? Yeah. So it sounds a really good idea.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. And and then there was just this little blog post by HubSpot, said, if you had an inkling what you want to start, just, you know, start a blog. So I went 2009 March, I started the blog, jeffbullis.com, because I couldn't think of any other better name to use at the time, luckily.
No, well, that's your brand, right? So that worked out.
Yeah. So I started building a personal brand, and that's where it all started, an observation of people's obsession with Facebook and social media.
I mean, I guess the blog is really where individual content marketing kind of arose from, right? I mean, there wasn't any Facebook yet. It was just starting, I guess, but blogging was like...
It was long-form content, yeah.
Right, like personal diary type of stuff.
Yeah, it was more about just... it was educational content. That's really what we're doing.
That's what you're putting out? What kind of educational content? What was the content about?
The content was just about how you could possibly use social media to actually get your message out. So in other words, you could bypass the gatekeepers of the past that you had to pay for, whether it's the journalists or whether it was the media moguls that you had to get on TV or you had to get on the radio or you had to paste an ad.
Right.
Whereas you could build your own distribution. So social media, especially early on, when it was very organic, in other words, before they started putting algorithms in place that turned it into pay for play, about 2013 to 14, it was very organic. You could get a million followers on Facebook, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter. So I concentrated on Twitter, and it helped me get my message out.
That was what you liked in terms of your platform?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. I think the tools weren't as good then, but there wasn't so much competition, and there weren't all these algorithms that were blocking you from doing everything you're doing. And you post something, you do it wrong, they ignore you. You know, it's very different than it was back in those days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the organic side of social media really remained very strong to about 2013, 2014, shortly after Facebook. Basically, after floating, decided it really needed to seriously monetize what it was doing.
Right,
so very quickly, it transformed into a pay-for-play platform where to reach your audience that you'd built, you needed to pay, you know, Facebook.
Sure. You know, that was coming eventually anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then you had the website at that point, right? And the website was basically your blog. That's what jeffbullis.com is?
Yeah. Okay. It started off as a blog.
Okay.
A blog is... really a website that's very content-centric, I suppose.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, there's very little difference in one sense between a website and a blog. It could be seen as one and the same.
Right, sure.
I think a friend helped me put it. I initially struggled with it and then put a blog together using WordPress. It was free. All it cost me was a $10 domain name, which is my jeffbullis.com domain.
Right.
And that's essentially all it cost me to get going. So it was a side hustle at the time. It was a passion project that ended up escaping the lab as we, as it evolved.
You were in sales at that point of some sort?
Yeah, I was working as a sales business development for a website, e-commerce website.
Got it. So, you're working in the digital space. You were doing sales and stuff, and then you started the blog. Well, it fits.
Well, actually, I hadn't quite started the job. I was actually between jobs, which is code for unemployed. So, but what happened was shortly after I started the blog, it was March, I got my first job back in the digital world again on April 1, 2009. So I did start the blog a couple of weeks before that, and then the passion project became
Okay. So I see from the stuff you've posted on LinkedIn and your bio and everything that you have a lot of you've been recognized in a lot of ways about it being an influencer and a top blogger and so forth. How do you, like, if I'm promoting what I'm doing as a whatever online, how do I end up on these lists? How did you get picked as the, I'll pick one, world's number one business blogger in 2015? How did you end up on that list?
What happens is that there's a basically content is where you build trust and credibility.
Right.
That defines you, but actually what measures you is the data and analytics. So a lot of the data analytics engines that started up, like BuzzSumo and others, they were measuring who was making the most buzz and noise online. And essentially I was put on these lists because people would either find me on a Google search, but typically they'd go, okay, who's making the most noise or getting creating the most buzz around social media or content marketing, and I'd be ranking very high on those data analytics.
Got it. Okay, so the analytics is really what's pulling you up on the list.
Yeah, well, that measures you. So, and everything today is about data. Data is actually what people use to discover what's making impact, what isn't, what works, what doesn't. So the whole metrics analytics now is just a huge industry.
Do you focus more on, you write more about one industry versus another? I'm talking about from an entrepreneurship, you know, to promote small businesses and help them. Any particular industries or just entrepreneurs all across the board?
What we did was initially started just as all about social media, everything that surrounded that, and that included as the other thing that happened at the same time, created the perfect storm, was the iPhone.
Right.
So Steve Jobs bringing out the iPhone, which is, again, another obsessive technology in conjunction with social media, which is, again, an obsessive technology.
Right.
That created the perfect storm that allowed everyone to become publishers.
Yeah.
And also it allowed people to be creating content wherever they were. So we wrote about the rise of mobile, the iPad, the App Store. We wrote about social media, but always with the key focus of how to use it to grow your business.
Right.
To get your voice heard and get your message out. So, and it's more into a digital marketing as well and entrepreneurship, because people want to grow their businesses. They want to start an online business. So essentially we've morphed into, I suppose, a digital growth blog with social media and content marketing and entrepreneurship being key topics that we cover.
And are you working directly with certain entrepreneurs? I mean, do you coach people? Do you, or is it really just the content that you're putting out all the time?
Yeah, we don't do consulting. We started off doing consulting and I realized that wouldn't scale very easily. So today we do influencer marketing campaigns to reach our audience and beyond with Facebook ads. We do affiliate. We'll help people launch their online courses or their products or their apps or their platforms. We also do international public speaking.
Okay.
And so that's where I started generating revenue from.
Speaking.
I got approached to start speaking around the world, and that's how I met people like Johnny Hendrickson from Shuttle Rock 8-9 years ago when he started the business, and he hired me to go over and do a workshop in New Zealand. And then it was Italy, and we've been to all these fantastic places over time.
Right. Now, that call came, Jeff, from the attention you got from basically the analytics of being seen and heard and providing content, right?
That's right. Yeah. Well, it wasn't just analytics, also ranking high in search engines. So people would be searching for a particular topic and Google would be ranking you high. So
you would pop up.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, that's how so, I do. I did researches on top influencers with small businesses. Your name showed up. I sent you LinkedIn requests and you were nice enough to respond.
Yeah. So that's it's, but it's the thing now is it's such a splintered media world that you've got to be ubiquitous. In other words, you've got to be publishing on a whole range of platforms. We've certainly done that right from the word go. So our content goes out onto Twitter, onto LinkedIn, onto Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn.
There's a lot of competition for these platforms to be heard. And as soon as you go on the post and you're on the feed, you go past and then the next person comes in. So you want to get as many eyeballs on your stuff as you can.
That's right. So the challenge is basically got to be quietly paranoid as you try and continue to understand that the algorithms are going to keep changing. And then there's going to be, Google's going to change its algorithm, which might affect how you rank. It's complicated.
It's hard for a small business owner, and I mean small. You're talking not solos, but maybe they got one or two employees. They got a little store. They're selling stuff online. They think they're doing things right, and then it changes a week later, and they don't even realize because it's very. Yeah. It's like a whole other occupation just to keep up with the analytics and what's going on with the changes in all those algorithms. It makes me crazy.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, a lot of small businesses still think that. Facebook, and if you just post on Facebook, you'll be fine. Right. Well, the reality is that you won't. You will actually not even appear because it's essentially the battle of the algorithms, whether it's a Google search algorithm or whether it's a Facebook feed algorithm, and the list goes on.
Yeah.
And you've even got algorithms now for email because Google, Gmail brought out algorithms and puts you into different tabs now. So whether it's social, whether it's the normal feed. And you quite often find that legitimate emails turns up in a spam or So the algorithms certainly aren't perfect. They're sort of positioned as being the be all and end all, and but the reality is they're not. And you can get either penalized or not be visible because of imperfect algorithms. But love it or leave it, you're really. It's the way the game's played today. Yeah, it's the battle of the algorithms.
You got to live with it. I think I was told, you can tell me if this is true or not, that if you're a business owner and you don't have a lot of following on like Facebook, for example, if you're a B2C type of business, that you don't get seen because you don't have enough followers. It's like a catch-22. So unless you're doing paid for advertising, they're not going to see you because you're irrelevant as far as the algorithm's concerned. Is that true?
That's right. So you got to do it. So today you've got to do a combination of paid as well as, organic.
Right. Because you don't get seen. I also do a lot of the – once the pandemic passes, we'll be able to go back to networking meetings. They've canceled them all. But a lot of them are like LinkedIn-based and things like that. And I'm posting things on LinkedIn all the time. I send out email blasts. I have about – like when we post this episode, I'll put it up on Facebook and LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, right? So we put a link in there. And then I found out that the link – is they don't like that because then it takes you away from whatever platform you're on, right?
Yeah, they don't care about you. All they want is to make money out of you.
Right.
They want to keep you on the platform. That's what Facebook's all about. It's keeping you on the platform.
Yeah, so then what – so man, maybe you can give me a trick. So what's the trick? If I'm posting something – so your episode comes out, right? It's an email blast to my group. It's got a link to – we use Podbean for the hosting. So it's got a link to that. And then the post on LinkedIn, for example, has a little blurb about you and then has a link to the podcast. But that hurts the ranking of the post. So how do I get around that without having to make myself crazy?
Okay. So let me ask you a question here, actually. Do you actually post any of your content on your own website or is it just on Podbean?
I'm starting to do that. I just rebuilt my website and I used to, and I went out on my own. I had a law firm up until last summer with about 6 attorneys. I broke that up. I went out on my own. I just rebuilt the website, launched it about a month and a half ago. I don't have a blog on there to post the content. Yep. Okay. So, but let's follow your logic since you asked me the question.
Well, the reality is that you need to own your content as much as you can because otherwise you're creating content for someone else. So Podbean is the one that actually has got all your content
right.
at the moment. And they'll be ranking for your content So the reality is that you need to get as much control back in the battle of the algorithms as you possibly can by having by making sure the content you create, or as much of it as possible, sits on your own site.
But isn't it difficult to have like audio this much audio content on your site because it's got to be hosted and or?
Well, you can use a site like Libsyn.
Libsyn's another one, right?
Yeah, well, Libsyn hosts the actual audio sound, right?
Right.
So, but you can, like, obviously, you must, I don't know if you are, but creating transcripts from Rev, for example, that you can put onto your own site once they've created it for you. But, yes, hosting the audio is certainly something you don't want to be doing yourself, and that's where Libsyn comes out. So Libsyn is audio hosting. That's its speciality and the services around all that.
Right, right. Yeah, well, that's what Podbean is. It's the same as Libsyn. It only hosts the podcast, doesn't host the, you know, there's no other content on there. But I used to do transcripts. I guess I should do it again. I used to use a service. I forget what it was. It was very inexpensive. They would transcribe what we're talking about. You'd have to clean it up. It's never perfect. And then I guess that and then you just post that as a blog on the site.
Yeah.
So I'll have to get back to that because it was a lot of work. It was one thing to edit these things, but to go through sentence by sentence is difficult.
Yeah, it is a lot of work, and that's the challenge.
Yeah, I guess so. That's gonna get better.
Yeah.
So let's talk about advice that you give, because it says right here, your mission is to inspire and educate entrepreneurs to grow their business in a digital world. So let's talk about some advice that you would have for if I'm starting up a business. I assume you deal with a lot of online types of businesses, right? People who sell.
We focus a lot on the digital, I suppose, entrepreneurship area, software as a service type companies that want to that we work with in terms of helping them reach our audience and also beyond. So one of the things I certainly recommend to anyone, whether you're an online business or an offline business, well, most businesses are online these days. You've got to have a website.
Right. You got to be partially online at least.
Yep. So, you know, if they can't find you online, well, you sort of like don't exist almost.
Right.
But you've got to be playing the long game. And the long game is essentially creating content, realize that you just can't put out one post and expect to be found online or two or three.
Right.
So, and there's a great quote by Bill Gates that said, a lot of people overestimate what they can do in 1 year, but underestimate what they can do in 10 years. And that's the reality.
Right, I've heard him say that, yeah.
With all of us building content online, creating websites, and creating podcasts, you've got to be playing the long game.
Right. Yeah, you got to constantly. I mean, I can't keep up with it. I have friends that are in the digital space, and they're like, well, you got to be posting two or three times a day. I'm like, a day? I'll be out of business. I got to feed my family. I got to do work. Yeah. I got to meet people. I got to work for clients. I can't just keep posting stuff. But if you fall asleep at the wheel, the whole world seems to pass you by.
Yeah, you got to find that balance. Sometimes it might be just one a week will be enough. Yeah. And then you're doing a great job, obviously, by doing a podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What do you think of audio versus video when you're looking? Because I've had different – I like doing the audio podcasts. I was thinking of doing – we could do video, obviously, through Zoom and then put it on YouTube also. But I just – like it's more to make my head spin. What's your thoughts about
– it comes down to resources. People like Tim Ferriss, for example, with his podcast, he doesn't do video, I don't think. Right. Sometimes he does. I suppose it's trying to create a content engine that actually allows you to do it as automated as possible. But of course, it isn't all automated. You still got to, there's still a lot of manual moving parts.
Right. For the podcast, I have all the opening, the pieces that I can just drop in. It only takes me now 15, 20 minutes to edit a podcast. It used to take me several hours, sometimes a day, because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But you learn after that stuff.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think audio is good because people can listen in their car. They can listen on their earbuds. They don't necessarily have to watch it all the time, although maybe on the train they watch it. And then, so I try to do one. I used to do it once every other week, and then we were getting really busy. I got a lot of people coming on, so I was doing once a week. And then I figured, well, I got to put some other kind of content out. So every Tuesday I would put that out. I put the podcast Fridays. Then I'd get people, not a lot, but some people would complain. Oh, you put out too many emails. I'm going to delete, get off your list. So then I, you know, you're trying to, like you said, you try to balance all this stuff between still being able to make a living, not pissing not pissing them off, but aggravating people with too much content. Because like this COVID-19, the coronavirus, I have more clients that are complaining about their inbox is full. Everyone, I didn't send one out. Everyone's sending out something about the virus, what you need to know, how they're handling it at their location. Like nobody wants to know anymore, you know?
No, exactly.
Yeah. And it's really, it's aggravating people, but you know, they feel compelled to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, I got to find a balance of some sort.
And there's a lot of opportunists, of course. So that's the reality.
Yeah, correct. They just want to jump on whatever the latest bandwagon is to get in front of you.
That's right.
So, what kind of stuff are you speaking around when you're traveling the world?
Speaking on, I suppose, the general concept of content, its power, its distribution, and its conversion. So we talk essentially about the three pillars, which is you need to get traffic, you need to create content, and then you need to turn that traffic and trust from the content into leads.
Right.
And then sales. So essentially the three pillars is the areas we concentrate on, because a lot of people just don't get the role of content still.
Right.
The digital marketers get it, but a lot of businesses still don't get it. So
right. They definitely don't. They only think the traditional way you do it is one, you know, face to face direct marketing.
That's right.
Yeah. How does somebody start bringing traffic to their site? Is it the content that drives the traffic, or is it the traffic that, you know, the chicken and egg?
It's both. One of the strategies done a lot years ago and still done today is to guest post.
Right.
So we have a lot
before,
of
yeah.
So we have a lot of people, businesses that approach us for guest posts. Because we've got distribution and we've got attention and authority. So those, we get a lot of guest authors that, you know, want to create a guest post for us. As long as they create great content and they meet our editorial standards, we collaborate with them in some form to actually do that. Because I realized early on I couldn't keep creating content myself.
Right, of course. It takes the pressure off of you to have that. That's why I don't do this as my megaphone. I interview people. I don't have to make up the content. It's a lot easier for me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a great way of doing it.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting advice, because so if I start a business, whether it's a retail store or a restaurant or whatever, if I could find other places where I could guest, you know, write an article and they could post, because like that's why I contacted you and a lot of other influencers. You have a lot of followers. I'm trying to grow my podcast and I want to get the message out. So I guess that's a good way to go about it. There's actually, so for people that want to be on a podcast, I don't know if you're familiar, there's a website called podcastguests.com.
Right. No, I haven't heard of them. There's a lot of them out there. A lot of them out there offering their services to get people on as guest writers. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can post your profile for free. And then, because the podcasts are all looking for guests. And, you know, they don't all have 500,000 followers on Twitter and all these kind of, you know, accolades and stuff. They're looking to get started. So I get some of my guests off of that for maybe, let's call them micro influencers, I guess. Is that the term when you?
That's a term that's quite often used, yes.
Yeah. So that's good advice. So if somebody needs to get started just by posting things and finding from their friends, really doesn't do it today. You really got to get something out there in front of another audience that adds credibility, I guess, because if somebody blog posts, somebody guest posts on your site, you're transferring your credibility to them, right?
Yeah. And the reality, too, is that you just got to be really persistent about this. You need to be hustling your content everywhere.
Right.
And that's essentially what I did as well. You know, I put it, published it everywhere, created content all the time. Actually, I write every day. But the reality too is, I knew I couldn't sustain that. I actually, that's why we invited guest authors in and need to focus more on the business aspect of what I was doing, not just the content creation aspect.
Right.
It's tough. And it's even more crowded. The numbers I'm hearing now is that there's over a billion, blogs globally now. So
there's almost
a
million podcasts. I'm not sure. Blogs have been around much longer than any of that other content.
Yeah. Blogs started in the 90s. So, but they were very sort of like more techie type guys that started it.
Right.
So I've heard of guys that start a business online. They've just been, you know, they get into forums, they see what's going on. They, you know, so they're just hustling their content and brand out there.
Right. Well, you know what? There's really no difference with people that I know that are successful online and people that are successful offline. It's the same hustle.
Yeah.
You know, these guys don't, they're the relentless.
Yep.
You know, they're just everywhere. And it's not necessarily, they're everywhere online or they're everywhere in town. And you can't, you know, you see their face everywhere, that you hear about them. Oh, he's the guy to go to. That's how I try to be with law in my area. There's a lot of lawyers. I'm sure Australia's no different. There's lawyers everywhere in my town, in New Jersey, in the county. And people call me because I'm just more, I don't know, I'm just at every meeting and I try to be everywhere, you know?
And that's the offline and online. You need, and especially for someone like yourself, you need to be in both.
Yeah, I can't even do business offline. I mean, online, really. I can prepare. I do mostly my practice is a business and estates practice. I do, you know, business work, all transactional stuff, document preparation, transactions. I don't go to court or anything. But there's certain things like a will, for example, or a trust document. You can't notarize or sign them digitally. Not yet.
No.
You need a wet signature.
Yep.
So that's not completely true for business documents. So I can only do so much online. I just created a whole section on my website that's an automated section for people to, for a much lower price, to be able to create doc, almost like LegalZoom, but a little bit more high, much higher end, but less than half of what I normally charge. So if somebody needs a basic will, they need a basic business agreement, they go on, put all the data, merges into my documents. I prepare them, clean them up. 48 hours, they get a document. They save a lot of money. I still can't sign them digitally. So either they sign them or they got to come to my office and have me supervise the signing. It's, and then I just charge them extra, but it's difficult. And there are some businesses that are, well, there are a lot of businesses, I guess, that are offline, online, right? That are both.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cause they're dealing in their communities. So, okay. Well, I appreciate spending time with me. We've been on for about a half an hour, on top of all the technical problems we had at the beginning. And, is there anything else that you want to share regarding the, you know, from an entrepreneur? Because that's why this is called the accidental entrepreneur, really, because, you know, I get frustrated with people that start businesses and they don't do the planning they're supposed to, and they don't do the research, and they don't put the time in, and they don't learn how to do the marketing, whether it's digital, online, offline. And then 4 or 5 months later, they're like coming to me and I got to clean up all the mess.
Yeah, that happens. I know. Yeah. I think if you've got a passionate purpose and love what you're doing, then it's much easier to last the distance. I think that's one of the things I learned.
Right.
And then sustaining it. So you need to be persistent, and then you need to be resilient, because it's you know, businesses can be very tough. It's great to be independent, but you've really got to be persistent.
Right. Yeah, it's tough when you like it. It's a lot tougher if you don't like it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. All right, well, let's definitely stay in touch.
If you like our podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at bindlaw33@gmail.com. That's BEINLAW33@gmail.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur has been written, directed, and produced by Mitchell Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about Mitchell and his practice, you can find him on social media or visit his website at BeinhackerLaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.